Here comes a comeback. Good morning, Center Point. How's everybody doing this week? Finally got some cool weather a little bit. Nice, just opened the house up yesterday and just enjoyed ourselves. I want to say thank you to the church. I've been here 36 years last week, and you guys, a little gift, and I appreciate that. This is a, you need to know, this is a special place, and I'm thinking about it. You know, Linda is basically the last one that was here the Sunday I came. And there was, just so you know, there were 19 of us here. Four was my family. My first Sunday, 39 windows were broken in the building. And we had a great journey since then. And Linda's basically the last one that was here when I first came. And then the others kind of came in, named back, and some others kind of came back. And so it's been a wonderful journey. This is a wonderful place. And I really enjoy the privilege of sharing and being the pastor. And I want to say thank you. I want you guys to make sure you know I appreciate your love for me, but I want you to know I love you guys. And it's been a wonderful journey. It's some of you have been with me for a while. You know there's been some good times and some bad times. Anybody? Even in church. You know, even in church you have good times and bad times? You know? I was thinking about this building here, and you know, we built this in the church, and you know, the people, the dedication and everything that went into building this building. And I'm talking about setbacks, came right in the middle of a setback. It was during the Great Recession. The county approves a plan for this building and says, yeah, you can build your building. We had a three-phase building plan. We're going to build debt-free and all of this, had it all laid out. And the county approves our plan down there. The Board of Supervisors gives us an okay. The Planning Commission gives us an okay. And we're building. And we're getting ready to move on and to start moving. We had curtains that we used at the school. We're going to move into the building. Everything's set. And then the inspector says, you got to limit your seating to 300. We can only have 300 people in here for parking and all the other situations. And I said, well, I'm going to use my curtains for that. And he goes, no, you can move those curtains. So you got to put your walls up. Well, we didn't have budget for that. And then the fire marshal said, well, you put those walls up, you got corridors in. Now all of a sudden, we went from a three-phase building project to you're going to build it all at one time. And then the recession starts, and now you try to borrow money. Even the money we had saved for the building project got frozen. You know? And so I'm working on this message called setbacks, going, this thing is a comeback from a setback. You are setting in a building that is a comeback from a setback. It can happen. Comebacks do happen. We can't expect comebacks. Our lives, we have setbacks. We all do. You know, it's financial, it's relational, sometimes it's family, sometimes it's work, sometimes it's school, sometimes it's, you know, there's losses and heartaches, there's wins, it's all sorts of things that cause setbacks. We have them. And sometimes it takes a long, 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 long time. All right? This building set watertight. Dan got us to the point where the building was watertight, and it set watertight for 2 years with nothing going on inside. You know, and it's like 2 years, that's a long time. Well, I'm going to tell you a story about a guy. How about 40 years? Anybody want to go 40 years? Does anybody feel you've been stuck for 40 years? Well, most of you. Thanks. You know, I got to file for Medicare this year. So, yeah, I'm getting there, you know. You know, that, what do you, anybody feel, you know, it's like, you ever put to the point where you just kind of give in, like, this is just the way it's going to be for me. It's been too long. It's not going to change. I might as well just give up and just, it's just life. What do you do when you get to the point where you're like, it's not going to change. I can't change anymore. I'm tired. The situation's not going to change. People aren't going to change. The money's not going to change. This is just going to be my life. Anybody ever feel like that? Like, this is just going to be my life. This is how it's going to be. I'm going to talk about somebody who may have had those feelings for 40 years. May have had those. I'm going to talk about a guy named Moses. Get your little outline out. I want you to follow along with that. We're going to read several passages here. But I want us to kind of think about, what do you do when you feel it's too late for a comeback, when you feel it's just never going to happen for you, it's never going to work out for you. Maybe you feel it's something you did, and it's just, anybody ever hear the same? You made your bed, sleeping. Anybody ever hear that one? It's my fault. It's never going to change. You ever feel like those situations like that? Maybe you missed your opportunity. I had my chance, and I missed my chance, so I might as well. It's too late now. It's never going to happen. It's been too long. My past is just, it's not going to let me do it anymore. What do you do when you feel like that? I want to think about Moses for a little while. And I want us to look at Moses. Now, if you're familiar with this story, if not, I'm going to tell you, read your Bible. All right? But if you get tired of reading your Bible, at least just a little bit, go watch the Ten Commandments, okay? Make the shortcut. Charlton Heston will kind of get it all put together for you. Get you a picture after you read the Bible, kind of compare it and say, well, that's not there. Where did that come from? Artistic liberty, they call it. How do we deal with this? And so what happened for Moses? Moses was born, and Pharaoh wanted to kill all the little boys of Egypt, all the little Jewish boys, all the Hebrew children. The Egyptians were getting afraid. Their slaves, the Israel people, were their slaves, and they were growing, and the numbers were increasing, and they were going to overtake the population of the Egyptians. And so Pharaoh said, we got to put a stop to this. Let's kill all the firstborn children. And then he says, let's kill all male children and he had wives. And in the midst of that decree, Moses is born. And so if you're familiar with the story, Moses' mother puts him in a basket and puts him in the Nile River, and she sends her daughter come out to kind of watch the basket float down the river, and it floats down the river past Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter retrieves that basket with that little boy, and she raised that little boy into a man in the palace, in the glory of all the Egyptian rulers. Moses had it made. Living on the best of the best. He was the future leader of Egypt. He had it all. But at 40, things changed. He turns 40 and something happens. I got the little story right here. Look what happened to Moses. This is Israel's history. This is a national history. It's in your Bible if you have your Bible. It's Exodus, the book of Exodus. But I'm going to read what is said about it from the book of Acts. This is how Stephen, as they talked about it. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel. He saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite. So Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Now, that's probably not wise. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites would realize that God had sent him to rescue them, but they didn't. The next day, he visited them again and saw two men of Israel fighting. He tried to be a peacemaker. Men, he said, why are you fighting each other? But the man in the wrong pushed Moses aside. Who made you ruler and judge over us? He asked. Are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard that, he fled the country and lived in a foreign land in Midian. There, his two sons were born. Life made. Easy living. Top of the hill. Everything his. Second in command. Future the leader. Everything is at his feet. And now he has to run away and hide. He has to leave. He has to flee. And he runs into the wilderness. And he dwells in that wilderness. And he raises a family. He gets married. Becomes a shepherd. Has two sons. Builds his family. He builds another life. Anybody here, let me ask you this. Anybody here, you're in the midst of a setback and life's not fair and life's got you down and you just, I'm just going to keep going. I'm at the best of the best. Anybody just make the best of life? Anybody just getting the point? I'm just going to make the best. Make the best of a bad situation. Anybody make the best of a bad situation? Yeah. That's what Moses is doing, He ran away into the wilderness, into the desert. He's living there, raising his family from the palace to the desert. That's quite a setback for you guys. from everything at his feet to everything on him. And so for 40 years, he dwells in the desert. 40 years, he's raising his family. So now he's 80 years old. Anybody here 80? Don't raise your hand. I know there is, but I'm not going to, don't, you know. Yeah. Now he's 80 years old now. How would you like God to call you at 80 and say, hey, I want you to be a preacher? Yeah. And this is what happened. 40 years, here again, Acts chapter 7, verse 30. 40 years later in the desert near Mount Sinai, an angel appeared to Moses in the flame of a burning bush. All of a sudden, God shows up in the midst of his life. 40 years in the desert. 40 years in the wilderness. Probably, I don't know about you, but probably as he slept with the sheep in the smell. Wouldn't that be fun, sleeping with the smell of sheep? Yeah. Taking care of sheep, wandering in the desert, thinking about what it would have been like to live in the palace. Think about that. 40 years in the wilderness. A setback. It's been a long time. Is it ever going to change? I miss my make the best of the best, best of the bad situation. I'm just going to have to suffer through this. I'm just going to have to suck it. Have you ever been told to suck it up? No? It's just life. Suck it up. It's 40 years, and now God shows up. Now, if you've seen it, you know, there's a bush that's burning, but the bush isn't getting burned up, is what it says here. One day, it says this in Exodus. One day, Moses was tending the flocks of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flocks into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of the bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn up. All of a sudden, he's been face and face with God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Because here's what I believe. I believe there's some here this morning who are standing face to face with God. And you're tired. And you're beat up. And you're hurting. And you're wounded. And you're in the midst of a setback. Financial, relational, a loss, something good, something bad. You're wounded. And you're in the middle of a setback. What I want you to know is you're standing in front of a burning bush. That God has something for you. I want you to know it's never too late. You ever drive in a car with kids and their question is, are we anybody? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're going, are we there? It's been a year. It's been 2 years, it's been 10 years, it's been 40 years, and I'm still here. That's where Moses was. I just think about this. Here he is, 40 years, it's been 80 years now. He's 80 years old, and it's like, this is my life. I'm going to be walking around with these stinking sheep until I die. This is it. From the palace to the desert. I want you to tell you, it's never too late for coming. All right? It's never too late for God to step in and change them. It's never too late for God to put a burning bush in front of you that gets you attention. Now, here's what I want to ask you. What's it going to take to get your attention? I've never seen a burning bush, okay? Well, I've seen trees on fire. You know, I tell you, I used to, just so you know, it was a lot of fun being here in Salida all these 36 years. And when I first came, there was no median out here, the concrete median. And some of, I'm looking around for some of the old-time Salida people, because Christmas time would come around. And it was always fun at Christmas time, because you'd have your Christmas. And what do you do when you get your Christmas tree and it's over? You know, you got this Christmas tree and it's over. And it's dying and the leaves are messing up your living room, right? Leaves, needles, okay? Or what do you do with your tree? Well, this corner right out here would become a pile of Christmas trees. Somebody know what I'm talking about? you know, and this pile would grow, and you'd watch it grow, and you'd watch this pile grow, and I'm serious, it'd be 10, 15 feet high. And you know what's going to, right? In Salida, man, it's just fun. You'd watch this tree pile grow and grow, and then, I mean, it'd be this high up the middle of the street out there on that corner. And then one night, whoosh! You ever see a Christmas tree go up in flames? It don't take long. Man, we'd have a big old bonfire out there every year. I'm going to tell you, you don't need a bonfire from God. God is here today. I'm going to read a passage in a minute, and it's going to say, Moses, you're standing on holy ground. Holy ground right here. And God has something for you right here. We dedicated this place. We dedicated this building. We dedicated this ground. You know how much prayer went into here? Yeah. We had just steel beams around this place, and we made circles around this place, and we prayed. And I want you to know, God has something. You may feel it's too late. You may feel it, I don't have a chance. You may feel it's just been too long. I missed my chance. I'm never going to change, and nobody's going to let me change, and they're going to. I want to look at here at Moses. I want to look at just four things. Because God confronts Moses, and they have a lot of, Moses had some questions. And I'm sure you probably have questions. You know, when God stands in front of you and says, hey, I'm here, you're going, okay, who are you? What do you want? And I want us to think about that for a few months. And we're just going to kind of follow this story. But I had this little phrase here I thought was really neat for us. It goes like this. In the midst of the routine, when you least expect it, you are surprised by God's invitation. It'll be on the screen in a minute. In the midst of the routine, when you least expect it, you are surprised by God's invitation. That's what I want for you this morning. I keep looking around in our world, and it's hurting. But it's not just the world, it's you and I. So what are we going to do? And so Moses has this conversation with God. And in this conversation, I see some things that can help us. Because as I wrote this message, I want you to know I've been praying. Because I believe there are some of you here that need this right here today. Because I'm going to tell you what, just so you know, I needed this message this week. You know, I had a crazy week. Anybody have a crazy week besides me? You know, it's been a crazy week. And I needed this message. 36 years here, God. What's next? Where are we going to go from here? What do you want to do, God? And, you know, I had the privilege. Crossroads Church up the road gave me a ticket. $200 ticket to go to a conference. And invited me to a conference. I had a chance and got challenged again and encouraged again. We all need it. That's what I want this to be for you. So let's look at this conversation Moses has and see if there's something here for you. You guys are quiet this morning. I want to get some amens out of you or something this morning, okay? Because you guys are sitting here quiet. I don't want you guys to be losers. We are winners, okay? We have a comeback, all right? This is not end here. I don't know. I'm turning 65 today. I gotta go fill out those papers 2 months before I'm 65. Later this month, I gotta go fill out those Medicare papers, you know? Some of you guys know what I'm talking, don't raise your hand, but you know what I'm talking about, right? You know? But I'm gonna tell you what, my life's not over. You know? I cannot sit around. It's not done. God, where are we going from here? What's happening? And we're sitting here today. I wanna make sure you get a picture. We're sitting here today in this church, and there's a big old party going out here, right? And that's great. We got to find a way to minister to that party. That's my prayer. Let's minister to that party. But we are starting, just so you guys know, so the leadership's met with a Hispanic pastor. We're trying to start a Hispanic church right here. And he visited us 2 weeks ago or a couple of weeks ago, and he's going to be starting a ministry. And we're going to start a Hispanic church right here in our church. You know, so we're not done. Now, is there going to be some setbacks? You know, I just mentioned the one setback, but we built the building. I could tell you after 36 years, I have a lot. You want to know a fun one when the pastor shoots himself? Try to change the name of a church when you're not really ready. Boom. Yeah, Gary. Yeah. We have setbacks, but it's not over. And sometimes it takes a while. I thought 40 years is a long time, but I'm going to tell you, I think some people are here that's been hurting for a long time. So what did Moses do? Moses has this conversation with God, a routine day, everything normal. This is a routine day for you. This is a normal day for you. When you least expect, you probably didn't come here this morning to be told, hey, suck it up. God's going to step in. So here we go. Listen to what happened with Moses. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him in the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." Why don't you circle that? God called to him, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground." Please don't take your shoes off this morning. This is holy. You need to take your shoes off. All right. And he called his name. I want to make sure you get a picture here. The first thing God did is he called his name. We sung the song at the end of the service last week, that I really enjoy. He knows my name. He knows my name. I want to tell you something. God knows your name. You know that? He knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows where you're at. He knows your hurts. He knows your wounds. He knows your joys. He knows your sorrows. He knows your name. And here God steps in and calls him by name. He faces that bush. I want to tell you, God's calling your name this morning. That God is standing here in this place when you walk through those doors to meet you. And he reached out as we shook hands and says, "I know your name. I know you." And God knows his name. It's a personal. It's a personal blessing and a personal plan that God has for you. It's what God wants to do in your life. It's what God has planned for your life. And in this story, there's some insights for us. Now, I want to make sure. See, here's the challenge. A lot of us get comfortable in our setback. You know what I'm saying? We know we're hurting. We know we're wounded. But we get comfortable. It's never going to change. We don't, you know, I don't have the energy to do it. Anybody say, "I don't have the energy to do it anymore"? It's never going to change. They're never going to let me change. We don't want to because it's not easy. But it happens, and God does it. And God works in us. And so there's four questions I want us to answer this morning that God answered for Moses that I think he's going to answer for you this morning. So Moses goes, he stands before God, he backs up from the burning bush, takes his sandals off, and God speaks. And they have this conversation with Moses. He's comfortable. He's got his family, got a couple of children, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. Yeah, he lives in the desert, but you know, it's the wilderness and it's a desert, but it's what... This is just my life. Suck it up, Moses. You're going to be okay. Anybody feel like that in your life? And here God steps into the midst of that and has something for him. So the first thing I want you to write down is this. Moses says, "Who am I?" It's the first question God answers. I want you to look at the first thing that God answers. Because Moses begins this. Listen to what Moses says as he stands before God. The burning bush is not burning up. And he stands before God, and God says, "I'm here to talk with you. I want you to go set my people free. I want you to go back to Egypt and lead the people." And I can just see Moses. "I was there, God. They didn't listen to me. I tried to explain it to them, God, and they accused me and thought I was going to murder them, God. They're not going to listen. Why should I go back? They don't care. They don't want me." Anybody ever feel like that in your life? "Nobody wants me, you know. I don't care." You know, stuff in your life. And this is what Moses is, and he's going through this. And so listen to what he says here, that Moses protested. Why don't you circle that word, protested? "I'm comfortable, God. This isn't really what I thought my life would be. This isn't who I thought I would be. This is not really what I want in life, God. But I'm comfortable, God. I'm just cruising through life, passing through. No big deal." Moses protested God. "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" God answered, "Who am I? Who am I? Who?" Anybody feel like, "Who am I? I'm not smart enough. I don't know what to do. I'm not cool enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not big enough. I'm not short enough. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. Anybody? You know? Anybody getting those? I'm not, God. And then here Moses said, "You know, I'm not. Who am I, God? Who am I to do this? They're not going to listen to me, God. I'm not. You know, I don't have what it takes. I don't have means to be. I'm not the one to do this, God. I'm just comfortable in my setback. I'm just comfortable cruising through life, just sucking it up. You wake up in the morning. Anybody ever wake up in the morning just dreading just the need? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But then we don't want to change. We don't want to do it. You know, God steps in and says, okay, we're going to do something about this. And it's like, I don't know if I want to do anything, God. Just leave me alone. You guys are quiet. And this is Moses. He's sitting there, and God's sitting there going, hey, listen, I got something for you to do. And Moses is sitting there saying, I'm not qualified. I'm not the one. I'm not the one you should be looking at. I'm not the one you're talking to. I'm not qualified to do this. You know, I'm writing this message, and I'm thinking about me, and I share this all the time. I am a kid who hated school and cut school to go fishing. I was talking to Stephen about fishing. I literally hated school. My joy and my plan, I want to be a cop and shoot people. Not really, but I want to be a sharp SWAT team. That's what I wanted to do. Just cruising through. I hated school. Just let me get through school. I joined the Army, become a military police, get out of military police. Then I can go be a police officer. You know, you just, here's your path, Gary. Got it all worked. Don't have to go to college. Don't have to do anything. Then God says, you're going to be a preacher. You're going to go to college. I hate going to school. I hate reading. Anybody here hate reading? Don't raise your hand. Yeah, I hated reading. You know? I did. I hated reading. Now I have 15 to 20, 30 books a year. I love to read. God changes that. You know that? You know, qualified. Qualified to go to college? No. Spent a couple of years at junior college. It took me 3 years to get through junior college. Then I go to college. The most exciting point for me, I wanted to get my doctorate. I went to get my doctorate, so I'm sitting at a table for the first class. And I know I'm not that smart. You know, I like I said, I had a college. I could write. I could take a test from this one teacher, Dr. Hyatt, was great. I could pass his test with an A every time. I never got lower than an A on any test he got. Every paper I submitted, I got a C on. Spelling. Know that one. I get a B in the class. But I go out to get my doctorate, and we're sitting at the table for the orientation, and we're sitting around the table. And he says, here's how you get your grades. Here's your grade. Pass, do over. And goes like this. I can do that one. Because I'm so stupid, I'm going to keep doing it over and over and over and over till I get it done. But that's the only thing I have. I have determination on my side. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? You know, I'm not qualified. But God. Because here's what God says. Look what he says. God answered, I will be with you. Underline that. I will be with you. His answer is, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to tell you, the answer to your qualifications is, God is with you. The presence of God is the answers to what you need. Right now, whatever you need in life, what you need right now is the presence of God. And I got good news for you. He's already there. All right, you need to know that. If he's not, you just got to ask him in. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life, take control. And he's there instantaneously. Moment. There. Jesus is there. That's what he's telling you. His answer isn't, you know, here's what I thought, you know. What would I do if somebody says, I'm not qualified? You know what I do? Pat him on the back and say, well, look at what you can do. God didn't prompt Moses up. God didn't say, Moses, listen, you have this skill. You know where the wilderness is. You know where the water is in the Moses. You know how to do this. Pharaoh knows who you are, so you already got an entrance into Pharaoh's palace. And he didn't sit down and list all of Moses' qualifications. I'm going to tell you, you don't need any qualifications with God. All you need is the presence of God. Does that make sense? And so if you're going through a setback right now, I want to tell you, all you need is the presence of God. God is with you. That's what he says. I'm with you. Don't worry about your qualifications. Don't worry about what you don't have. You have all it takes when you've got God. There's nothing else you need but God. God says, I am with you. He doesn't try to build him up with all sorts of skills and all sorts of ideas. And Moses, you're a cool guy. Moses, you're okay. Moses, it's going to be okay. Moses, all he says is, Moses, I'm with you. Let's go. Here's my question for you right now as I'm talking about this is, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? I'm serious. It's your choice. God is sitting there saying, you're sitting here in the setback. I'm comfortable. I'm okay. It's just my life. Suck it up. When God says go that way, are you ready to go that way? Like I said, God says, Gary, you're going to go to school. Well, God, I don't like going to school. Anybody? I can just write to this organization and then give me a preaching license. You know, I can just get a preaching license. I hold this little paper in. And you can still do that. And that's not God's plan. See, it's not your qualifications that makes the difference. Do we all need, whatever we need, God's going to give us. All right? So I want to make sure you get this picture here. Who am I? I'm, just so you know, I'm a nobody. You know, I'm just somebody from the backwoods of nowhere. I'm just a guy in the desert taking care of a bunch of stinking sheep. Watch where you walk, okay? And God says, no, Moses, you're my man. And I'm saying, I'm not your man. I'm going to say, what are you telling God you're not? You got all you need. You got the presence of God. See, so Moses has this conversation with God. And so the first thing he does, you know, when he faced God, and I think this is the first thing we do, God, that's not me. Anybody said that one? God, I'm not sure if that's going to work. Anybody ever tell God that one? God, I don't know if that's the way. Like this one. I don't know if that's the way I want to go. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And God's saying, you are my man, my woman for this task. There's a comeback coming, Moses, and you get to be a part of it. Think about that. I'm going to tell you, there's a comeback coming and you get to be a part of it. I am. But it doesn't stop there. Moses says that first. Then Moses has this other question. He asks God, who are you? Now, if God says, I'm with you, the first thing I want to know is, who are you, God? If you're going to be with me, who are you? What kind of God are you? If you're going to be with me, what kind of God are you? You know, who are you? You say, the and me is, who am I? Well, I'm your man, but who are you? Did you see the question there? And here again. Moses, what did Moses do? He protested again. Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? I'm going to go and they're, you know, and I'm going to say, God sent me. And they're going to go, who's God? And God says, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me. Now, my sarcasm says, that answered the question, really. I am who I am. Yeah, that tells me a whole lot. You know, he didn't, now, I want to make sure you know this. God didn't list his qualifications either, did he? He didn't say, now, Moses, remember when I did the world? You know, Moses, remember when I sent the flood? Moses, remember when I, he didn't say any of that. He just says, you're you and I'm me. Get on with it. I am that I am. I want to make sure you get that picture. And he's saying that. But here's the significance. I am. I am the one who's going to split the Red Sea. I am the one who's going to rain bread from heaven. I'm the one who's going to bring water rock. I am the one. I am the one. I'm the one who's going to protect you. I'm the one who's going to provide for you. I'm the one who's going to be with you wherever you go. I am the one. God is the one you need. Do you see the picture? You need protection? God's the one. You need provisions? God's the one. You need deliverance? God's the one. You need strength? God's the one. Whatever you need, God is the one. You can read through Exodus all the time. God showed up. I am. I am. I am. I am showed up. Give you some homework. some exciting homework, okay? Read the Gospel of John this week and look up the I Ams, because this is what got Jesus in trouble. Because when you say I am, you're saying I am the God, the one and only. There is none like me. In the Gospel of John, there are seven I Ams. I want you to come back next week and tell me what the I Ams are. I'll give you one. I am the bread of life. I'll give you the first one. Find the other six. All right? That's what got Jesus. When Jesus said I am, the Jews got upset, and the Jewish leaders got upset because he's saying he's God. Remember, he was put on trial for blasphemy, for claiming to be God. He says, I am. I want you to know God is the I am. Whatever you need, God is the one providing. Jesus answers, and God is the one to step into whatever your need. You need provision? He has the cattle on 1,000 hills. Anybody know that one? You need strength? He has the power to create this world, to sustain it. Anybody? He's the one. All right, so here's Moses. Here's my question, but Moses isn't done. Who am I? I'm not qualified. Who are you? You're God, and you're qualified, all right. And then he says this, what about them? What about all the Israelites back in Egypt? They didn't listen to me the first time I went. They wouldn't listen to me when I was there and tried to help them when they were getting fighting and the Egyptian was beating one of them up. They wouldn't listen to me then. What's going to make them listen to me now? Will they hear me now, God? What about them? That Moses protested again. Anybody protest God? God, I don't want to do that. God, that's not what I like. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what's that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses. What are they going to do, Lord? They're not going to believe me. They're not going to listen to me, God. They don't care what I say. What about them? Here's what I want to go with this one real quick. I got to pick up the pace a little bit. What about them? I want to ask you this. What them is stopping you? Who are you? Yeah. Well, they don't let me. They're going to reject me. They're going to make fun of me. They're going to... This situation will. Anybody got the them in their life? If I look at the report cards, like I say, I got my report cards from first through sixth grade. I look at those, they ain't going to college. Them thought, no. Anybody got a them in your life that's kind of pushing you down? Anybody got a them? Are you letting the them speak into your life? I got a better voice to listen to. It's a him. Not as them. Anybody got what I'm saying here? Don't get confused with the them, okay? Doesn't matter what anybody, see, this is one thing that Laura gets embarrassed running around with me. Joyce might know what I, because I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I don't care anymore. You know, I can go to the mall and, you know, I'll be honest with you. If you do something stupid at the mall, I'll say something. Laura gets embarrassed because she hits me and everything else. I don't care what I really don't, you know. It's like, well, this is who I am. And that's, I'm going to tell you, that's been a joy in this church because they let me be me. I didn't have to be some preacher on a pedestal. I'm Gary, pastor. Now I'm Gary. Isn't that nice? That don't matter. This is Gary. You guys get me every week. Jerk and all right? You know, and so now I do want people to like me. I want you guys to like me. You know? But... this you liking me or me serving God is bye. People, you know, this week I was at this conference and people ask, you know, how long I've been at my church. I tell them 36 years. I get a lot of comments being at a church 36 years. But I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. But I'll be honest with you. If Martha and Rose and Francis and all them didn't want to change, I probably wouldn't be here. They trusted me and it's a blessing. So I want to challenge, who's the them in your life? So here's what God said. What did God tell him? What's in your hand? God didn't talk about them. God doesn't talk about what's in your hand. All Moses had was a staff, a stick. a stick. And God says, throw it down. And he threw the stick down, and it became a stake, and Gary ran off. I am gone if there's a snake, okay? Spiders, I do not care. I give Dan a bad time. You can tell your dad, there's a spider, yeah. I give Dan a bad time. Spiders do not bother. Black widows, I don't care. You know, a spider. Do you get a snake around me? I'm gone. And then you tell me to pick it up? It ain't going to happen. God's smart to pick it up by the tail. Okay, yeah. I don't even pick it up by the tail. Doesn't matter. And he says, what do you have in your hand? Throw it down. You've seen the movie, right? And it becomes a snake. Pick it back up. Look at what it says. Throw it down to the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw down the staff, and it turned into a snake. And Moses back. Gary ran off. All right? Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. Yeah, sure. So Moses reached out and grabbed it and turned back into his shepherd's staff in his hand. Here's the secret. You don't need anything that you don't already have. You hear me? What are you waiting for? We want to come back and we want to wait. Okay, God, I want to come back. What are you going to do next? You got the stick, God. What are you going to do next? I only got a stick. All I got is a stick, God. The stick's not big enough. I could see Moses. God, this is a stick. Where's the scepter to rule Egypt, right? Come on, I want the scepter. I'm the new Pharaoh. Let my people go. No, I got a stick. I'm going to go challenge Pharaoh with a stick. I'm going to beat Pharaoh's army with a stick, right? I'm going to tell you. Whatever you have is all you need to face your comeback, to face your setback for a comeback. Is that okay? Whatever it is. Well, I need this degree. I need this. I need that. Well, I got to wait till I finish this. I got to go get this. No. Whatever you got right now is good enough for a comeback. So you step back, and then you step up. Get the picture? You get the picture? He stepped back from the bush. And then when God talked, he threw it down and he stepped up and picked up. What do you need to pick up? What's in your hand right now? What do you have? What do you have right now? I don't have a college degree, or I don't have the right car, or I don't have enough money, or I don't have anybody got anything? I don't have the right relationships. I don't know the right people. Anybody been in that boat? It doesn't matter. Who do you know? Man, I can make a difference. So I want to make sure that's there. It's not about them. Because here, I wrote these phrases down. Every problem can become a personal growth. Every discipline can become a new dream. And your greatest hurt can become your greatest ministry. Did you know that? Think about that. Your greatest hurt can become your greatest ministry. Your greatest disappointment become your new dream. And your problem can become a personal growth. Pick it up. What about them? And the last one is this. How about this, God? Now, Moses, I protested and protested and protested. And then look at this. Moses pleaded. God, you're not listening to me. I don't want to do this. Anybody? I don't want to change. I'm comfortable in my setback. I'm comfortable. I got my family here. I got my two kids. We're in the desert. We're taking care of sheep. The water is there. I just cruise along in life. Yeah, it's not what I expected. It's not where I wanted to be. It's not who I like. But God, this is my life. Just leave me alone, God. And he's pleading with God now. He's going from protesting to pleading with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm not good with words. I've never been, and I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me. I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. God, here's why I can't do it. I'm going to ask you, what's your excuse? God, here's why I can't do this. God, here's my handicap. Anybody got a handicap? I got news for you. Let me give you some really good news to walk out of here, okay? You are broken. Every one of you. Me too. I'm a broken person and I'm walking into a broken world. We're all handicapped. Some of us have a handicap from the past. Anybody got a past you're not proud of? Don't raise your hand. But anybody got a past you're not proud of? Anybody got some emotional handicap? Anxiety and stress? Anybody got some relational handicap? Burned some bridges? Anybody got some relational handicap? Family handicap? You know? Anybody got some handicaps? We all have battles. We all have handicaps. But God, it's not me, God. And what's so funny for me is Moses is telling God something that, guess what? God already knew. God's going, you. I know you are. Duh. What do you expect? See, here's what I want you. God's never going to ask you to do something you can't do. You know that? You're never going to be able to do it. God's not going to ask you to do something you can't do. It might be uncomfortable. It might be scary. It might be frightening. Go back to Egypt where you murdered somebody. Oh, that's a pass for you. Yeah. But God, you got to stick. God's given you something. I don't know what it is. Go. Step up. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes person's mouth? Duh. Who decides whether people speak or not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not see? Is it not the Lord? I made you. I formed you. I know what you have. And God's sitting there, his answer is, guess who's in control? I've got all this. I can handle all this. I can do all this. You know what Moses says? Moses goes, yes. That's what I want you walking out of here saying yes this morning. Because when you say yes, you're blessed. Not going to be easy. I'm not going to say, well, I'm going to walk out here and all my problems fade away. Fish! I can tell you that. But what I can tell you, you can walk out of here knowing this. That you'll see God split a Red Sea in your life. Okay? You'll see God protect you. I mean, you know, Israel, Red Sea, can't go forward, can't go back. There's the Egyptian army in their chariots. They're just going to run us all over here. Fire comes up and it's like, you ain't getting my people. God's going to protect you. He would have missed that. Bread from heaven. Anybody need provision? Bread falling from heaven? Anybody ever get something melted? You never know where it came from. It came at the right time. Anybody besides me? And it's like, where did that come from? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody been in that one? It don't come from heaven. It comes from the UPS. I mean, yeah. No, we need to get Amazon on our side, right? Or how many here think a rock can give you water? I want some water. Let's go to the rock. But Moses seen water flow from a rock. Anybody? How many want to meet Jesus? Moses met God on the hill. Come on. Just go right on through that. Moses got to see the promise. See, I want to tell you, there's a comeback coming for you. It may feel like it's never going to. You may be at a point in life right now where it's too late. I'm tired. I'm comfortable. It's never going to work. Nothing's ever going to change. It's just my life. I'm just going to have to suck it up. I want to tell you, it doesn't have to be that way. God knows your name. Okay? And he's God. He is the I am. He's the I am. And doesn't matter what anybody else says, does, or thinks. Care about the them. All right? You have what it takes. All you have is a stick. That's okay. Go out there and pick up a stick. I was going to give everybody a stick this morning. I should have did it. I'm going to go in there and get some popsicle sticks out of the craft room over there and give you a stick. I should have did that. And then you just got to go. God's in control. God's in control. I'm going to skip one verse and go to the very last verse, Stevie. Listen to what it is. This is about Moses. He had his eyes on the one no one can see. and kept right on going. He had his eyes on the one no one could see. He kept on going. I want to encourage you this morning. Get your eyes on the one that no one can see, that you know, because he knows your name. And he is the great I Am. It doesn't matter what anybody else is thinking. You are special and unique, created by God, gifted the way he wants. He's not going to pat you on the back and tell you, here's all the good things about you. He's just going to say, I'm God. Don't worry about what you have. I can take care of anything you don't have. Think about that. God does great and mighty things through ordinary, everyday routine of our life. In the middle of a routine day, he met God. And God did great things. Let's pray. Lord, what a joy it is to know you, your words, and your truths. To know that you are the great I Am, that you are God. And no matter what happens around us, you are on the throne and nothing will ever change that. But like Moses, Lord, there's times in our life when we feel at a loss. There's wounds and hurts. There's broken relationships. There's financial struggles. There's battles at work and struggles at school. But you're God. So Lord, help us take the stick. Whatever you've given us, and step out. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you're here this morning and you felt that you came, and maybe the last couple of days or maybe the last few years of your life, you're at one of these things where you just feel, it's never going to happen for me. It's never going to change for me. It's too late. And I confronted you this morning with the Word of God, and you want to change. You just shoot your hand up and say, pray for me, pray for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of these who are saying it's enough, that you are enough, that our qualifications are never enough, that you don't look there. You are God. You empower, you equip, you guide, you direct, and you protect. And so, Lord, for these in the midst of their setbacks, for these in the midst of the hurts and the wounds, I lift them up to you. Lord, I pray that you will reveal the stick you put in their hand, that they'll know the tool that you meant, whatever it may be, that they'll take that, whether it's to touch the dead Red Sea and split the sea, or touch a rock, that you will use what you've given them to provide for them, to protect them, to guide them, to guard them, and to bless them. Lord, lay your hand upon them because you are the I Am. You are all that we need, more than above. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We pause at the end of our service with an invitation. Invitation is real simple. Maybe you need some prayer this morning. Maybe you sat here this morning and you heard this and you're really hurting, and you say, would you pray for me? I'm here to pray for you. I don't know what's going on. Maybe there's somebody else you need prayer for. Maybe there's another situation in your life. This is your opportunity to respond to whatever God lays on your heart. Might be your time to step up. Might be your time to step out. I don't know. But this is your opportunity. You can do it where you stand. You can just rededicate your life. God, I need to step out. I've seen the burning bush, and I need to step out. This is your time, and I'm here to pray for you. I'm here to share with you. We call it an invitation. You haven't had a chance to respond. So this is your opportunity. We're going to sing a song, and you come with the Spirit, please. I'm going to ask you to join and stand up with the worship team. And you join them as they sing, and you come as the Spirit leads you.